What happens when a woman is called, not by phone, but by fate? A voice from beyond the veil. A force near the infamous Skinwalker Ranch that shifted her soul. Tonight, we meet Jessica Blunt. She's not just a channeler. She's a healer, a messenger, and the living bridge between our world and something far stranger. Her story has captivated scientists, confounded skeptics, and inspired those searching for meaning in the mysteries. What does it mean to be chosen? And what truths are waiting just beyond the veil? Find out tonight, right here on the Paranormal 360 with me, Dave Schrader. And joining me now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is our guest, Jessica Blunt. Jessica, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Dave, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we've had an opportunity to work alongside one another at a few conventions and have spoken, but have never had a chance to have you on one of my shows. So I'm so pleased we're able to finally connect to do this.
Yeah, that's awesome. I am so grateful to be here. And it's been an interesting ride. So I'm excited to talk to you about some of the things that you may not know about me.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to dig into tonight. And especially, you know, I love that there's so many different layers to this. We hear about people that have these awakenings and it just kind of awakens one aspect of a new dynamic in their life. Yeah. I think it often opens up a lot more, but people don't pay as close attention. They just focus on what seems to be the most prevalent of those things. Growing up, where did you spend most of your life?
So I spent most of my life in California. And I've always had this really deep connection with the paranormal and the other side. And I didn't ever realize that until my parents shared that with me, that they would find strange things stacked in places that I have no business reaching, or, you know, it's just me. It was just me. So there are things hidden under huge chests that nobody could lift. And so the paranormal has always had a little bit of a close connection with me. And it's just been one of those fun little topics that you get to have with friends.
Seems like a little bit more than just a little bit, Jessica. You might be underplaying what's been going on in your life. When you say things would appear under heavy chests that nobody could lift on their own,
yeah.
How were they getting there? Was this poltergeist activity? Was this Jessica phasing things through? How do you explain this?
That's a good question. My stepfather actually shared that with me last year. He said, I was about four at the time. So he goes, "Do you even remember that?" And I said, "Absolutely not." He says, "Yeah, there was one time that we had bought you brand new shoes and we could not find them anywhere. And we searched the entire house. It was just my two parents and myself. And about a year later, they were doing some remodeling and they moved this big chest and found them perched right under this big chest. And they had no explanation. There's no room to get them to like slide or, you know, it was literally right inside this chest. It was crazy.
Were they shoes that maybe young Jessica Blunt did not want to wear?
You know, possibly it is, okay. it is a possible fashion trend faux pas, but
man, I could have used you as a friend when my mom was putting me into brown corduroys and orange turtlenecks. Where were you helping me hide things inside walls and underneath heavy furniture?
Yeah.
So that's always been a part of it. Now, as you've aged and talked to your parents, have they ever come forth with, especially your bloodline, that there has been abilities and high strangeness in your family?
You know, they hadn't, but I remember as a teenager that I feel like it's just a great show or a great title for a show. The House on Mary Lane, feels like a good title for a scary horror movie. And that house in California, it truly was, wild. There was one night I remember having my friends over and my mom was in the other room watching TV. And we were just, you know, teenagers and in my bedroom doing teenager stuff. And I hear my mom yell for us. And we ran out. She's laying there and her eyes are wide open. And she looks over and she said, so they used to have these little oil machine or these little oil pieces that would sit on top of a light bulb. And had lifted up. It was an air freshener. It had lifted up over the light, the lamp, and it had moved over past the lampshade and had sat down on the book at the end of where she was laying down. It didn't spill, didn't knock anything over, didn't knock over the lampshade. And she watched that with her eyes come up and over and sat down. And I just, that house had so many layers with the voices that my friends and I would hear in the other room, to the heavy windows and doors opening on their own. It was just wild.
Did it ever feel threatening at all, or just?
No, whatever. It never felt threatening. It was just so interesting because it was something that I grew up with, and I and my family, we would be surprised. But we spent about 18 months in that house before eventually it got to be too much and we had to pack on over there. Yeah.
Do you think that growing up, or at least spending some time in a place that's that saturated with energy, does that open people up that may have innate abilities, or is it the chicken and the egg thing where your innate abilities might have been what helped open that location up?
That's a great perspective. I think that having the opportunity to be in a place like that certainly gives you an opportunity to decide for yourself if you want to open up more. And I believe the more that you expand your awareness or the desire to understand more, the more it's going to resonate with you. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of friends that took off as quick as they had those experiences and wouldn't come back because they were quite afraid. So they closed off. They didn't want to know anymore.
But it'd be interesting to know, going back, what was the scent that the ghost did not like?
Yes.
Was it a sage? Was it something that we would normally use now to try to help clear a location? Was the ghost like, oh, no, I'll just put this over here.
Knowing my mom, it probably was some kind of one. It probably would have started the house on fire, knowing the time frame that we were in. they don't make those anymore. The oil, the lamp oil fragrance. But it probably was not a pleasing scent, cucumber melon or something fruity.
It's fun. Do you believe that, kind of before we go to break, it's just kind of a fun little question. Do you believe that the spirit realm, can they smell? Can they feel a tactile sense? Obviously, they seem to be able to hear and see, but do they still have other senses available to them?
That's a great question to think about. I might have to ponder that and ask my next connection that opens up to me. I'll have to ask my spirits next time I speak with them.
Well, we have a commercial break coming up, Jessica. Feel free to plug in while we're doing that, and we'll see what you find out. Jessica Blunt, our guest this evening, as we talk about her life, her encounters, and it goes far beyond just abilities and ghostly activity. We talked in the opening about something that occurred near the Skinwalker Ranch in Vernal, Utah. Let's talk a little bit about that, reintroduce for people that might not even be familiar with what a Skinwalker Ranch is. Some people are still living in caves, Jessica, and are unfamiliar with that program. So we'll discuss that and so much more. Stay tuned. You are listening to the very best in paranormal talk radio. This is the Paranormal 360. All right, Jessica Blunt, walk me through this moment with the Skinwalker Ranch and, what happened to you? How long ago did this take place?
So this was in 2019.
Okay. So still pretty recent.
Yes. Very, very recent and still feels very much like yesterday. It was a beautiful day. It was in April. So, very, very similar to the beautiful weather that we experience now. It was blue sky. There was a few wispy clouds, but nothing, that would infer any kind of big weather.
Right.
You could certainly see the clarity of the planes passing by, and you could see it was just a beautiful Sunday, and we were actually driving to go to the movie theater. we were going to watch Endgame and with our children.
How appropriate.
I know. It's ironic. So we ended up driving from where we live in the Uinta Basin to Vernal, which is about 30 miles away. Vernal, Utah is, another little small town that has a theater, has the 3D theater, and we were really wanting to go there. We had two separate cars that we were in because my husband was going to do something else after we got to Vernal and realized that the movie was sold out. So we had to go to the next town, which was kind of zigzagging back through the Uinta Basin. And just outside of Vernal, there are some switchbacks. And so we were making our way quickly to get to the next town, which is Roosevelt. And Roosevelt had another showing. And so we were headed over there. And as we were driving, my boys, you know, in the back seat with their game and watching YouTube, probably you. I mean, I would imagine it was yours now that I'm.
I like the sound of that. Yeah.
Recalling the story. And we were heading outside of the switchbacks. And after a couple of minutes of just observing the scenery, and it was beautiful. But something flashed in the sky that drew my attention off to, it was about south. So we were facing south as we were driving through these switchbacks. And I watched for just a moment to see if I could catch whatever it was, this flash that kind of drew my eye to that blue part of the sky. And so driving, kids, you know, all it's a lot happening at once.
Right.
And suddenly I see another flash and my eyes are in that same direction now. So at this point, I'm watching for about a minute, three huge spheres of light that are now in frame and they are moving in this way that doesn't register with me. So I'm flipping the file in my head of, you know, I never have used the term UFO or UAP or anything like that prior. As anomalous as my life has been with the paranormal, that was a different category. And I was not activating that in that file flipping. And so it was plane, drone, helicopter, plane, drone, helicopter. And in the meantime, nothing was clicking as I was trying to watch these three spheres that were doing this. It was leapfrog maneuver. It was the craziest thing I have literally ever seen. And so they moved over one another. And it was a sense of playfulness. It was a sense of nobody knows we're here, so we can kind of do whatever we want,
right,
kind of thing. It was the weirdest thing that I would even infer that. But it takes about 3.5-4 minutes to get through those switchbacks. So as we're twisting and turning, and after about a minute watching that, there's nowhere to pull over. You've got people behind you, if you've got people in front of you, there's nowhere to pull off to the side. And I finally kind of get my wits about me after watching it and ask my boys to turn on a video and so that I could try to record something. So we get out of the switchbacks. And as we pull out of the switchbacks, we start turning towards the west. And at this point, I have to face the west to drive, obviously, but I have to look now to the south out my window so that I can still keep an eye on them. And at this point, I knew in some way, I became aware that they were aware that I knew they were there. If that makes sense.
So they knew that you knew that they knew that you knew that they were there. I'm with you. I follow you.
Yes, which is not something that, again, I would never come up with something like that? Why would I know that something that is this out there would ever, you know, have this connection to me to even make that assumption? So at this point, they're tucked behind a cloud, this little wispy cloud. They have not come out. There's no more leapfrog happening. And I'm trying to explain to my boys at this point, I found a place to pull over and I'm trying to explain to them what I'm seeing. And the only thing that can come out is there's something that's clear and it's flying in the sky. And they're like, what are you talking about? How do you see it if it's clear? Which is valid.
Very valid. Yeah.
And I said, well, but because what I was actually seeing is something that looked like a bubble, right? A bubble is clear, but it right. has some
shimmery effect to it that gives yes. you a visual representation, right?
Correct. And that is what I was seeing. So it had this little, it had this glow about it on the inside, which was the flash that when this flash would come on, this light, this inner light that was this glow, you could see that there was this bubble-like effect around it that was bigger. But they were not coming out of that cloud. They were not coming out. So I tried to record. I'm trying to explain. I'm stuttering over my words. I could not articulate what was going on in my brain because I was in a very, I mean, I'm sure it was a state of shock. You know, it's daytime. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon in April. So it's not dark. It's not, I'm not seeing anything that could be something else. So I'm recording. My boys try, they're trying to be supportive and say, yes, I see it. It is that. And I said, no, that's a plane. And they're like, okay, so it's not black. And I said, no, it is not black. It is clear. And so, you know, you've got a 7 and a 9-year-old that they can't, they're, right. I can't get them on board.
Well, mom's brain is breaking looking at this, which yes. I say that, and I don't mean to sound dismissive because I've been in your situation where I've witnessed something so extraordinary that your brain just like fizzles. You see it, you know you're seeing it,
yes.
but you don't have a way to process it or compartmentalize it in a way that makes sense to the world that we're familiar with. So yes. to try to explain something that we don't even know what we're looking at to children, I feel you in that. We have to take another break. We'll come back. What happens next to Jessica Blunt? What does this sighting mean? And what kind of awakening? We'll find out next on the Paranormal 360. All right, Jessica, people want to know. You see these things in the sky. They're moving around. They suddenly become aware of your awareness. Now, I know that there are listeners right now scratching their heads going, that's convenient. However, I will tell you that I've been to many UFO sighting spots. Mm-hmm. And once I have witnessed something in the sky, they do seem to take notice and do something for you as though they're aware you now know that you're watching. And I've talked to people like James Gilliland from the Assetti Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. And folks, I encourage you, check out ECETI.org, ECETI.org. Read about it. Some of it's very weird, but I've been there. I've seen things in the sky that I cannot explain. So I just want people to understand, I'm with you on this, Jessica. I understand this. And as weird as it sounds to everybody else who's never had an experience like this, the processing of what is taking place is crazy. And the fact that every one of these people that I've been to that have hosted me to see these Skywatch events have told me the same thing. Once they know you're watching, they will make contact or they will show themselves to you. And that's been the way it has been for me for 19 years now. I've seen more in the sky because I'm looking and they seem to allow me to see some of these things. So I'm with you.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Now I got to. What's the next step for you? I mean, nothing is showing up that you can show anybody. The kids are probably texting dad, we need you to pick us up. Yeah. We're going to miss this movie. Mom's insane. What's going on?
So at this point, I am, I'm really close. I'm realizing that I'm really close to Skinwalker Ranch. Now, I didn't know at the time. So mm-hmm. I didn't know at the time I was this close to Skinwalker Ranch. I didn't know where Skinwalker Ranch was. Living here, we had heard about it, but not really. Like, we weren't going out, certainly like how people are now. Nobody's, right. you know, going out to the stop sign and trying to find it. Like, nobody's doing that. But I watched for a little bit longer. We watched these lights. After a couple of minutes, we started to see that some planes were flying through that cloud that started to fizzle, like it was fizzling out. So at this point, there's no more hiding. Now, granted, these lights were able to turn on and off, but it seemed as though they were wanting to mimic some other craft in order to get out of there. Right. And so we watched a plane fly through this cloud. And it had the contrail. It kind of did, you know, did the plane thing. And right after that, we saw another weird looking contrail. But it was skipping through the sky. There was no plane in front of it. There was nothing with it. And it was just kind of this put, 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 put of a line.
And smoke. Yeah.
Yes. And
at this point, are your boys seeing this with you, Jessica?
They are now seeing that.
Good. Okay.
Because they are trying to see what I'm seeing. And I said, I think I'm able to, like, I'm watching with my eyes. I'm not necessarily watching with my phone camera. And then I see the glimpse that thing moved through the sky, and I got it disappearing right over Skinwalker Ranch. It disappeared right over. I watched it turn on. I saw the one, and then there was the other one that came skipping through, and then they disappeared right over Skinwalker Ranch. Again, I didn't know that at the time, but now going back and looking through a lot of evidence that I had collected, I could see exactly where I was parked, and I can see exactly where the ranch is. I can see exactly where it vanished.
Now, for people, again, that are not familiar, let me mention Skinwalker Ranch in Utah has been something that is not just flight of fancy, some crazy old rancher who sees things at night. This has been owned by parts of our government, by research groups, by NIDS, Robert Bigelow. They have bought this property to study the phenomena that is taking place from visionary versions of portals opening to strange cryptid creatures, large wolf-like beings that have been shot at that do not fall, to lights in the sky, almost like an umbrella effect over parts of the property as well, where light will stop or things will, you know, the magnetic signatures of the ground and air do not match up. It's a very strange very strange location.
Yeah.
And there's a myriad of different things that take place. I'm excited. I'm going to be back out at Phenomicon where you and I met.
Nice. Yes.
I'm going to be out there this year with Dr. Maria Mayer. We're going to be going over to Sky Wolf Ranch, which is directly next to Skinwalker Ranch.
I love that.
And we're going to be taking out a bunch of guests to go out and investigate with us for a few hours. Nice. So if you're close by, sneak on over, Jessica. I'll hide you under my coat.
Yes.
And we'll go in there.
I'd love to. So
for listeners, now you kind of have an idea. If you haven't seen more about Skinwalker Ranch, go look it up. Mm-hmm. People say Skinwalker. I don't know. I'm afraid I'm going to find a bunch of websites I shouldn't find looking that up. But there's TV series, there's specials. Go check it out.
There's books. All right. There's all kinds of things. Yes.
So now that you've seen this and they've gone, they've left the sky.
Yep.
What's going on in the brain of you?
Children? So now comes the fun part. And I say that
sarcastic. Sure. I gotcha.
Sure. So we end up we leave the vicinity because it's all about the movie for my kids. And, so we get to the movie theater and I am sounding the alarm for everybody in town. I am blasting it. I'm sitting in the movie theater and I'm trying to tell everybody, go outside. There's something outside, go outside. I'm shaking. I could feel adrenaline in my body just taking over, but I'm starting to have a hard time talking. And I end up the end of the movie, we get home. I am almost in a convulsive state. I am stuttering my words. I am unable to even formulate what I'm trying to say. And I'm thinking, this has got to be shock. It's got to be shock. This is right. The first time you're seeing something strange in the sky. It's had a profound effect on you. You're excited. You're freaking out, all the things, right? So I go and lay down and try to take care of myself. And for the next several days, I had developed a severe tremor and I couldn't speak. I also couldn't get my words out. I was trying to get, you know, speak. And it was severe. It was traumatizing. This was the most traumatic thing I think my body and my brain has ever gone through. And I had to make a doctor's appointment, and that began the long road of something I never imagined coming. I never imagined coming with both my physical self and my neurological self. It was an interesting discovery that they had given me.
Just before we go to break, we have a few seconds left. Were the kids affected the same way?
The kids were not affected because they were not able to see what I saw. Gotcha. Officially, they were not able to see what I saw. So they were not affected, thankfully.
All right. We've set the table for you, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. How does this play out? What mysteries unfold for Jessica? And again, chicken or the egg, did these things cause this effect? Did they awaken her? Or was it because of an awakening that she saw it? This is your home for the very best in paranormal talk radio. This is the Paranormal 360. I'm Dave Schrader, Jessica Blunt, my guest this evening, and she will be here with us next hour as well. This hour setting up kind of the idea of where she came from, the experiences she had, this profound effect from witnessing things in the sky over Utah, and how it physically and mentally, spiritually impacted her. Next hour, we'll talk about what this means going forward and what type of things have happened to her since. So let's rejoin with our guest, Jessica. You're going through these medical issues that make no sense.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people that are listening might think, and you know, there was a movie called Phenomenon with John Travolta, where John Travolta went out and one night saw these lights in the sky and collapsed. And suddenly his brain is engaged in a way that he was always kind of a slower individual. And now he's hyper intelligent, can absorb things. It radically changed him. And spoiler alert, I mean, the movie's been out 30 years, so I don't think, you know, watch it. It's a phenomenal movie, folks. But you find out that there's a brain malady that he's dealing with. And many people have talked about now having the ability to see and experience things. And a lot of people we find also deal with a form of epilepsy. So is it a medical condition that makes you think or hallucinate that you're having these experiences? Or is it something else that's awakened that also happens to kind of walk parallel lines with medical conditions? What's your story, Jessica?
So after my sighting, my initial experience, and the fact that I was convulsing so badly, the severity of being able to not do my job. I couldn't do anything at that point. So my doctor got me in right away, and he was shocked at what he saw, because he knows me to be, pretty healthy. I'm active, and it was very uncharacteristic. He ran an MRI. He said, "It looks like you have sudden onset Parkinson's disease." And he has that in my file as sudden onset Parkinson's. And I said, is that a thing?" And he goes, "No, it's not. You don't just suddenly have Parkinson's. It develops over time."
Right.
But the tremors that I had were so severe, and the fact that I couldn't talk, I was stuttering as bad as I was, they were worried that perhaps maybe I had a tumor. So he sent me down immediately for an MRI. They did blood work. And this is where things become, again, very interesting and starts this medical journey. But I go down for the MRI and I change into the robe and I'm walking in to, I walk up to the MRI room, right? It's highly magnetic. I walk up to the doorway and I hear in stereo, in my head, stereo, they will never find it. And I turn around because I thought maybe somebody was, I was in a hospital. Maybe somebody was talking, you know, something medical about a diagnosis that they had just discovered, and nobody was near me. Nobody was around me. So I just didn't think much of it. And I went to step through the doorway again, but this time, and this was the first of three times that this has occurred, but I heard again, he said my name this time and said, Jessica, they will never find it. And I stepped through the doorway and I looked at the technician and I said, what do you mean? And he spoke and it was very clear it wasn't him. And I had asked, you know, who's telling me that they can't find anything? And he goes, I don't, you know, he was very confused to kind of summarize it.
Sure.
I went through, I had the MRI. It was great. The MRI, there was no abnormalities. And when I left though, I left and I was able to walk out on my own accord without having any kind of support. I wasn't shaking. I didn't have any tremors, and I was able to call my husband. And that was the first time, because I was talking to him, that I realized I was able to talk without stuttering while I was still, there's still pause. And this still occurs with me now, but there's still pause because I have to still grab onto that word. But that led me to discovering that I had a neurological injury of sorts that is anomalous. And that I also have a few weeks later, my blood work came back, and that I have an autoimmune disease that an elevated inflammatory marker that they can't identify what's caused it, where it came from. I didn't have it before. I have it now. Mm. And so all of these things together culminated into a very anomalous medical condition, of which I come to meet Dr. Jim Segala, Dr. Kit Green, Dr. Gary Nolan, who have taken interest in my case because of the injuries that I have sustained. And after learning for many years and studying a lot of, after they have studied me for many years, rather, the brain part of it, the neurological injury part of it, essentially opened me up to receive like all of the information that I could ever possibly need about existence at once. And that's how it felt, is that, hey, we see you. We know that you see us in the clouds. By the way, this is what's happening. We're going to give you all of this information about existence and everything that goes along with it. And in exchange, you are now our messenger.
So they almost, they poured in 22 gigabytes of information into your 36-bit RAM memory, right? And that's kind of what overloaded and fried the circuits. It's interesting too, that after the MRI, you were better. It makes me wonder, did the magnetic resonance have an effect on whatever was implanted or imparted on you,
right,
to dampen the overwhelming effect? Right. We are at the top of the hour, folks. There's a lot more of this story to be told. What's it like to have this realization, to know that you're not crazy because you have doctors, physicians, psychologists looking into your case and realizing that there is something different. We'll talk about that next, right here on the Paranormal 360.